people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Matt, it's Shift and Steer. It's another edition, and we are just days away from SEMA.
Are we? How many? 11?
I think it's like about 10.
About 10 days from SEMA?
So SEMA this year, once again, we're going to be able to be found on Central Hall's main floor at MagnaFlow.
Yeah.
For the second year. This is our fifth year going there. We launched at SEMA out there in the parking lot in front of the mother's semi, and it was fun. It started right off, and you know, there were people, there was that murmur through the crowd that, wow, this is really something special. These guys are on to something. And
maybe I didn't hear that.
Oh, you didn't hear the murmur? You can't.
With the headphones on, I can't.
No, you just don't know how to speak murmur.
Okay.
So you have to know crowd murmur. And it's just grown. Oh, it's just grown beyond our wildest dreams. You know, we're all gazillionaires now. And, you know, weren't you on the Forbes top 50 million this year?
Yeah, the bottom 50 million.
I wanted to start out because you're a Mustang guy.
I am a Mustang guy. And who told you?
And I wanted to tell everybody, now you finally got your Fox Body done. You're debuting at SEMA this year, right?
Yeah, it's going to be sweet.
But it's a private showing?
Oh, it's 2020.
Someday. But being a Mustang guy.
Yes.
There was this new ad that came out, like a promo thing.
Yeah.
With Bryan Cranston. And if you stop it and you look at it, there's this dark reveal of like a futuristic Mustang.
Yeah, I saw
that. No grill, lit up emblem. Now, they've been telling us 2020, a hybrid Mustang is coming. What do you think? Do you think that's just a concept car? Or could that be hinting at what that hybrid might be?
I think that is mostly a concept, but it could definitely start to show the direction that they need to go in. You know, one of the things that I think we've seen over the past few years is fewer actual concept cars for the sake of sort of R&D, if you will, where concept cars today are turning more and more into production cars. You know, we've had some crazy, remember the crazy Cadillacs in the day, the Cadillac, one with the big, like, I don't know, 16 cylinder engine, big something.
Or the,
like,
or the turbine cars that Mopar put out.
But, even some of the, you know, in the last 10 years, we've had some pretty intense concept cars, and we still see a few of those
Cadillac
things.
16.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And there were some design elements of that translated to the current lineup of cars. But when you these days you kind of go and you see a concept Range Rover or something like that, you're like, this is pretty close to being in production. The difference is like, the concept car has, for example, the Porsche Mission E, which is going to be the Taycan.
Right, and they just announced it's coming out.
That's great. We know that's coming out for a while, and now they're really starting to show this concept vehicle quite a bit. And I'm sure inside there's probably like no interior in it now because the windows are all blacked out. And there's a few things that they'd like to do that they just can't do yet. There's cameras on the side instead of mirrors, but it's getting so close to being what the production car is going to be. So for that reason, today as we're recording this, Ford dropped this new commercial, and it's just all about a future vision. It's about building things. It's about, we're innovators and we're trying to build. We're not just talking about it. We're actually doing it. It's a neat commercial. It's got Bryan Cranston in it.
And the Ford Mustang pickup truck, because they're getting away from passenger cars.
From passenger cars. So they show, they show the trucks, they show whatever. And then there's a very quick glimpse of what appears to be the front of a futuristic Mustang with the pony horse lit up and no real grill to it, really implying some sort of electric or hybrid or something. And now there's so much history with with this brand, with the Mustang mark, that it's very likely there's going to be, you know, probably some sort of hybrid in the lineup, but then also your performance versions, your GTs and GTs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be an added, mm-hmm. it's not going to be the only model. It's going to be an added model.
Right. So the big question is this, would be, if we got a Mustang hybrid, do you want a Mustang hybrid to replace the lower level, like EcoBoost, in the attempt of fuel economy, or do you want a Mustang hybrid that the hybrid benefits the performance, like what we're seeing with NSX and some of these other cars and McLaren, where the electrification sure can increase fuel economy, but increases the performance. Like, what if we had a Mustang that had a V8, but electric motors to make it all-wheel drive?
A GT5000?
Yeah. Everything was 5000, like, years ago when it was the future. It's the 5000.
I know. Yeah. It was like, put an extra zero on it. It sounds futuristic. Well, how about, we're talking about a car that's going to be out in 2020, and when you think about it, 2020 used to seem so far off in the future. Remember in the year 2000? Yeah. It was like, 2020, oh my God, that's so far in the future.
It still seems kind of far. It seems
it's only
like
a year and a half.
When you talk about cars, it doesn't seem far. But when you talk about The Rock announcing Jungle Cruise Disney movie he's in, it says June 2020. I was like, oh, that's not next summer. It's the next summer.
The next summer.
If it's a Netflix show, you're like, God damn, I can't wait that long. But if it's a car, you're like, that's coming right up.
Exactly. You know,
really. So Our question, I guess, that we're hypothetically asking is, would the hybrid be performance or not? I would say no, because
it's going to be more like an EcoBoost to start.
Because the next subject is the GT500.
Which we'll talk about after our guest.
Right. But that's a 19 and 20 car.
Right.
Right. So
And they wouldn't,
yeah,
kind of, they would compete against each other if they did that.
Right. You wouldn't have the performance version and whatever.
Let me tell you something. Let's talk about AMSOIL. You know why I like AMSOIL?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
It's because they're a bunch of car people. They're gearheads. They're into all kinds of power sports, and basically, they get it. Recently, AMSOIL created a guide to increasing horsepower in your vehicle. It has insider tips from some of the best in the business on coaxing more power out of your engine. And Matt, you can get your copy free at AMSOIL.com/shift.
Yeah.
That's always hard to say, but it's easy to type in.
Yeah, it is.
And while there, find out more about AMSOIL synthetic motor oil, too. Like how AMSOIL Signature Series synthetic motor oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by the leading industry standard. So don't forget, go now. Go to AMSOIL.com/shift. To get your free insider's guide to increasing horsepower. So, speaking of horsepower, maybe pony power.
Yeah.
I know that you saw it.
Yeah, the GT500.
That thing's a monster.
So, there was some sort of dealer event, sort of a dealer preview.
And they probably said, please, everyone, don't take any photos.
And somebody took a photo, and now it's everywhere. And, you know, we've been hearing about it for a while. What we know is
that it's got huge wheels and tires on all four corners.
It's got huge wheels and tires on all four corners. It looked like in that photo it's got the carbon fiber wheels from the R model. Maybe they'll do a GT500 and a GT500R.
Yeah.
Which would certainly make sense.
Now, me being a wheel and tire guy, I went right to those. Now, do you think that has 305s on the front, like the new Camaro? They're trying to stay right in there. I mean, 305s are huge on the back.
Yeah.
Put them on the front, they're ginormous.
Yeah, but I think the the GT 350 R model has them already, so it certainly would make sense to go with something like that, and probably magnetic ride and carbon fiber wheel, and
it's got the wide whatnot. Body front and rear.
It is pretty kind of pretty cool. Now it's going to have the 5.2 liter engine out of the GT 350, but with a conventional crank, and then on top of that, we suspect a 2650 TVS Eaton supercharger. And
that's how they get 720 horsepower.
Yeah.
Out of that
so
thing.
We know it's 700 plus. I've heard 720 and some have been saying 760 or 780. And I'm sure at the last minute, they're depending on, no doubt they can get 800 all day long. It's just about how do they dial it in for the emissions and the fuel economy and whatever.
Well, I've got the inside line on this.
Okay.
736 horsepower.
Is that what you think? 36 in it.
I'm just saying I know it, okay?
So a lot of people have been sort of speculating why not the flat plane crank. And without talking to a Ford engineer, I have sort of two basic theories on that. Is one, in the Shelby, the vibration was something that they needed to address and needed to over-engineer motor mounts and things like that to sort of compensate for that extra vibration. They did a good job doing it, from what I understand, but certainly the one that I drove, but that's an issue. And two, the flat plane crank is meant to be a lightweight, not just high revving, but fast revving. It's a quick rev. Now, when
it's about the power curve that it creates.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you slap a supercharger on the top that's belt driven, that's naturally going to sort of slow down that process because now you have a whole other component to spin. So you're sort of defeating the purpose of the flat plane crank.
They
right?
cancel each other out.
They kind of do, right? So why bother? Why not just go with the conventional crank and get all the power you want? Also, it makes that GT350 even more special.
Right. Well,
because
yeah.
even in their crate motor, the 5.2 liter Illuminator engine, which is a great, it's 580 horsepower, but that's got the Cobra Jet throttle body and Cobra Jet intake manifold on it with the GT350 engine with a conventional crank. And believe it or not, they get more power out of it. Not quite as fast revving, but or that quite the sound as much, which I think you'll notice the sound more than you will the quick rev.
And they're going to put the dual clutch transmission in this.
Are they? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sure it's going to have a manual.
That thing's just going to be... The front nose on that car, okay? Let's talk yeah. about that, because a lot of manufacturers have been going to this, but that one just... You just go right to it. The giant front grille, and then on either side, those just intake vents that are just massive.
Oh, yeah.
It's... you're going to be cleaning stuff out of those all the time. I just know it.
Yeah. It's going to be kind of interesting to see. But we like this sort of fits into the theme of the new commercial we were talking about, how
yeah.
Ford builds stuff. And they're continuing to going with a performance, keep pushing the limits of performance. I mean, get away with it for as long as we can with Hellcats and Demons and ZL1s and ZR1s and GT500s. Like, let's do this.
If you think about 1990, 91, 92, 93, the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
you'd go to SEMA and everybody'd be like, yeah, it's all about tuner cars. It's tuners are taking over. And, you just, muscle cars are a thing of the past, man. It's just, and look at where we're at now. I mean, it has just taken a dramatic 180 and gone right back to the big horsepower, but so much more efficient use of that horsepower.
Yeah.
And, it's just amazing where it's at. What do you think that car is going to retail for? What's your guess?
I think we have some insight
and we're
on
talking
this already. Yeah.
Sticker price, not what they'll actually go for.
Yeah.
Whole nother discussion.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure we can look it up and figure it out. I think it's going to be probably somewhere in the 75 range, 74 to 79, I'm going to guess. I can't say for sure, but I feel like it's going to be in the 70s. We know that the The GT350 is, you know, high 50s, mid 60s, depending on which model you get and whatnot. And where are we on a Demon? Is that about 80 grand?
If you could find one for 84 grand, yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be kind of interesting. I could probably look it up real quick while we're doing it. But
So that car is, you walk into the dealership, you buy it, it's a factory-built car.
Yeah.
Now, this next one is a little bit harder to explain because although it's not officially a factory-built car, you buy it through GM. It's through the special vehicle engineering. Comes with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty, but it's a 2019 Yanko Camaro.
A 2019 Yanko. I like it.
Now, you know me, hardcore muscle car guy. I Baldwin Motion car and, you know, Yankos and all those have always been near and dear to my heart. They're bringing back this Yanko Camaro, but they're only going to build 25 of them.
Yeah.
Which just seems like such a low amount. Why don't you just say we're going to build a collectible car that half of them will never be driven, you know? If that, 3/4 of them will never be driven.
And why do you think 25 of them? Is there some reason? I mean, with an American car company like what we have, why limit it to that? Why not do
it? It just doesn't make any sense to me. That's what I'm saying. I think, you know, but
how many are you getting?
Yeah, right. When I saw the price, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Because what we just talked about, you're talking about a 2019 Camaro, Yanko, they're talking around $114,000 sticker.
Okay, now who's building it?
Special Vehicle Engineering.
Yeah, I feel like this SVE acronym is used by everybody, so now I don't know who's actually building it.
I'm with you. But you're basically getting a 1LE Camaro that has either the Stage 1 835 horsepower motor or the Stage 2 1000 horsepower motor.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they put the motors together beautifully. Don't get me wrong. 416 cubic inch LT1 aluminum block. Has forged crankshaft, forged pistons, CNC ported heads, I mean custom headers, into high flow cats and a stainless exhaust. It's got all the right stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, 875 foot-pounds of torque. So that's great. But over the price of the Camaro that you're ordering.
Yeah.
You're $46,999 for the 835 horsepower motor, and you are $66,995 for the 1,000 horsepower motor. That's a lot of money, because basically the rest of the car is some stripes, some Yanko badges, a carbon fiber hood, a carbon fiber spoiler, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And some of the cheapest looking wheels. You know me and wheels. If you're paying that much, there should be some damn good wheels. They look like cheapest Chinese 5-spokes. They don't even look up to the quality of an OEM wheel. They're just horrible looking. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to do a special edition Bond Speed Yanko
wheel?
We
should.
Only 25 sets available?
Yanko those off your car and put these on.
Put these on there?
So
yeah. Well, it's a tall order of what they're trying to do, and you're really kind of buying that exclusivity, I guess. And
that's exactly what you're buying.
You know, the collectability and stuff. But, you know, hopefully people drive them a little bit, you know.
I looked at the car. It didn't really do a whole lot for me.
Yeah.
It looks like it has add-ons. It doesn't look like it's integrated into the design. And I never like that.
You could do what Goldberg did, like with his Demons. He bought two of them. He's got one on a shelf in his garage. He's got one he drives.
When you can afford to do that, lots of people do that.
Yeah.
It's like having back in the olden days when you'd hear on a movie or something somebody saying, oh, well, I'm going to wear my, what was it called, cocktail jewelry or something, where they had fake jewelry they wore, and then they had the real stuff they didn't wear.
Yeah,
which never makes any sense. If you got a car, you should be driving it.
I only wear my fake stuff.
I only have fake stuff.
I only got fake stuff.
Now, along the same line, if you want to spend even more for a Yanko, you can do that too.
Okay.
How
do I do that, Brad?
You know the company Classic Recreations, right?
Yeah.
They do all the Mustangs.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Yeah, they do really nice stuff. Well, they just announced that they are going to come out with, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Yanko 68 Camaro, they're going to release a 68 Yanko Camaro.
Those traitors.
That is a nut and bolt. They said, we finally have something that's going to be cool. We're done with these Mustangs.
The Mustangs are great.
No, their Mustangs are really nice. And I'm sure they will do a fantastic job at these. But, you know,
that's a tough business to be in, the kind of the high-dollar turnkey recreation.
Yeah. And the problem I have with it is that I don't mind, okay, great, build a really cool that's, you know, nut and bolt correct and era correct and everything like that. That's fine. But it's still, in my head, a recreation. Only 64 of the original 68 Yankos were ever built. And they say in their publicity that, and you buy it from us, your car will be added to the Yanko registry. And I'm kind of like, wait a minute. It's not one of the 64.
Yeah.
So should it really?
Then there are the continuation cars, if you will, or the recreations that they'll add to the registry. It's fine. I don't know. It doesn't hurt.
I got a problem with it, man.
I'm sure you do.
No, but
they should say the only way to buy one of the recreations is if you own one of the real ones.
It should say it will be added to the registry with a big asterisk next
Well,
to
it will, right?
Cause, yeah, it'll have a big red asterisk. Yeah. But $150,000 for the car. And
yeah.
And you know what is good about that?
Well, that's
if
tough,
you
though,
own a Yanko, that shows your base value is now $149.95.
Well, $150 actually doesn't sound that bad because we all know what it takes to sort of modernize a muscle car these days. And, you know, talking to a guy who has a $100,000 Fox Body Mustang.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You start throwing parts at a car and you're knocking a $90,000 before you even start bolting them on.
Easy.
You still got to bolt those parts on, right? And so $150 doesn't sound that ridiculous to me. You know, you go to, you know, some of the top builders and you want something kind of custom and you want to, you know, you want Bodie Stroud to build you a Mustang or you want, you know, Ring Brothers to build you something. It's going to be $250,000.
They say, bring me a $150,000 deposit and we'll get started.
Yeah, we'll get started. We'll start sketching it, you know, but you're going to spend $250,000 on it. I mean, you're going to get something cool, but, you know, at $150, and let's say you're at $165 with some options and stuff. I don't know, but it doesn't seem that out of it. But don't give me $150,000 car with a carburetor on the top.
It's going to have a carburetor because they're making these era correct. That means it's going to have, you know, all the old school stuff. It's going to have
alignment,
headers. Yeah, it's going to have bad alignment. It's going to have bias ply tires.
Yeah,
and drum brakes.
Drum brakes.
And, you know, it's going to be a death trap, basically. No, I mean, I jump in some of my old muscle cars, and over the years, I've always said, yeah, they always sound good, but when you drive them, they're not as much fun. I mean, you come up to an intersection, and after you drive, like, my El Camino was six-piston bare brakes all the way around, and you just gently tap the brake, and you're through the windshield, you know? You get in something with drum brakes and you're like, oh my God, I hope I can stop in time. You know, you gotta start thinking about what you're going to do before you do it. And you don't go around the curves as fast and you don't, you know, the body leans and, you know, but when you think about it, when the factories were building all those big block muscle cars and Hemi cars, they never talked about, hey, you can take this out on the road and drive through the curves. They said, it'll do 0 to 60 in this, and it'll do the quarter mile in this. And, it was never about, you know, they weren't talking about handling and this and that, and everything was different. When they were talking about handling, it was, yes, it's like driving your couch. You know, I mean, the cars back then, you see them and, you know, I mean, come on. They didn't even have CD players, let alone MP3 or like that. You had to have that turntable in there, Matt, that came out from under the dash, and it had to ride smooth for that.
Yeah.
You know what a turntable is, right?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of
it. It's like the tissue box in your Fox body.
I've seen it. I've seen it in the movies.
I know. That's, I love the movies where the guy's got the you know, the phone in his car. It looks like some ancient home phone. And then they open up, like, there was some movie I was watching not too long ago, and the guy opened the center console, and there was a bar in there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, a bar in your car. There you go. That's,
well, yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's back when drinking and driving wasn't an
issue. You're driving from Vegas to L.A., you got to have a bar in your car, they were saying back then.
Need a little martini or something on the way, especially from Vegas. We're talking about the vintage stuff, but in the modern world...
you don't have bars in your cars.
No, you don't. But... Ford has said they're going to do more Ford GTs. They were going to do 1,000 cars, 250 a year.
I knew that was going to happen.
250 a year for 4 years. And now they're going to do an additional 350 cars. And they're going to open up the list again. Now, I don't know if that means if you were on the list and you didn't get accepted, are you in?
Or does it mean that if you're on the list and you bought one, you can buy another one?
Well, it probably doesn't mean that. So they're saying, you know, the spin on it is the demand has been so high and so many people on the list weren't able to get one. We don't want to completely limit everybody, so we're going to create an extra 350 cars, and that's going to get us a few more years into the future with this car. So they're going to get a full 6-year run out of this car. But I think the real intention of it is...
Amortize the tooling?
No, is they want to continue to race it.
Yeah.
And to continue to race it, they makes sense to have a production car out there still. You can't... It seems a little silly to cancel the production car after 4 years and then 2 more years of racing. You know, so.
And how many do they have to make a year to compete in NASCAR?
I don't know. That would be great if they did a NASCAR
version. GT500. Or, I mean, the Ford GT NASCAR edition.
It would be weird. You'd have to, like, undo a lot of the good aero on the Ford GT to make it work. Just a lot of funky stickers to make it to make it work. So, I don't know. So, what's your thought? Being so... your old school collector car guy being more Barrett Jackson auctions than anyone should deserve to go to.
Yeah.
Do you think this is fine or do you think this hurts the value of the initial 1,000?
You know what? It will definitely affect the value of the first 1,000 somewhat, but those are always going to be the first 1,000. They're going to be the first ones out of the gate. It's just like any other numbered product. Like when I sell my watches, we only make 500 of an edition worldwide. And the guys that get the first 100, they always feel like they have something special. And, you know, hell, 1 through 10, man, those are sold before we ever even tool up. So it's the same sort of thing. It's that.
Maybe you should get back into the watch business.
I am. We're going to do a Ford GT edition. We used to do the Shelby editions.
That's right, yeah.
But, and because kind of what we were just talking about, it's the factory that made this decision, and it's the factory that's building them. Mm-hmm. This is not, we found some bodies back in the, and we're going to make, you know, some re-additions or continuation cars. They said, hey, we're making a business decision. We want to continue to race. We can still build these cars. There's still a demand. Let's do it. And I think it's totally warranted. And guaranteed they'll do something a little different that'll make them, you know, slightly variant.
Well, they are going to do the Heritage Edition in part of this 350, which is sort of the Gulf Racing color
right.
version of it. And then I think they did the previous one,
which
was the red with the white.
Yeah.
The red with
yes,
the white.
Yes, the red with
yeah.
the white. Yeah.
So the Gulf Heritage one will be a part of this new, I guess, you know, new...
The new sales group, yeah.
Allocation. That's what I'm thinking of. Allocation. And yeah, I guess there's a version of
allocation. That's the word you were fishing for.
I guess there's a version of this here's the thing. The numbers are still so small, 1350. There isn't, you don't have to say, oh, this is the first allocation or the second allocation. You just say the number, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've got 900, I've got 912, or I've got 851, or I've got 1250. Like, nobody cares. It's not that big of a deal. But it is nice to see there's another 350 that are going to be out there, and hopefully people that really wanted it will be able to get it.
Well, I'm going to tell everybody mine's a first-generation car.
The John Cena car sold again.
Oh, it did again?
It did, and this time at a slight loss. If you will.
Really?
It previously sold for $1.4 million, and now it's $1.3 million.
Well, that was a great investment. Now, wait a minute. Am I incorrect in saying that Ford is the one who bought that car?
You would be incorrect.
Okay. I thought I had heard Ford bought it when he sold it.
No. It went to auction. It went to Russo. And then who sold it recently? Was it Mecum or somebody sold it?
Yeah, but I thought at Russo.
The dealer, there was a Ford dealer that brokered this whole deal originally. They're the ones that approached Cena and said, we can sell it to somebody else. And he said, yes. And then after that happened, that guy, I guess, went back to that dealer and he's like, let's go take it to auction or something. So somehow, like, this dealer has been involved and you know,
did that dealer get in trouble?
I imagine
because there was a bunch of stink over that.
There was a bunch of stink over it, and anyway,
I was fishing around for our previous guest's name, and I couldn't find it. But the guy up in Canada that was on, I bet Angelo is already on the list to get another one of those Ford GTs.
Yeah, maybe an American version.
Probably the Gulf colored one.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm sorry, you were saying about Senna's car.
Cena. Senna's the race car driver.
That's right.
Senna's the wrestler. Nah, Cena's the wrestler.
That's what I said, Cena.
You know, his whole thing, we don't know what he had to pay, but he had to pay something back to Ford and give it to charity or something like that. So I'm sure he didn't make any money on this
deal.
Yeah,
doesn't sound like
he didn't make any money on this deal, and he just got mud in his face. Is that the term? Mud in your eye? Egg in your face? I don't know what it is.
Kicked in the nuts.
He's a wrestler. He got dick punched. Cock punched. anyway, interesting stuff. I'm excited about SEMA. I'm glad we're doing shift and steer out there. We're going to be out there every day.
And
Tuesday
we're lining
through Friday.
Up some great guests.
I can't tell you who's on the list except for... Ken Ligonfelter and Bodie Stroud and
David Freiberger. And we've got a bunch of other people are lining up. Jesse James told me he's going to come by and do the show. So
he's going to bring a truck and a rifle.
No, a handgun.
Okay, I don't know. Whatever
Jesse James handguns.
Yeah, is that what he's doing? He's making guns now, right?
It's JJFU.
Is that really?
Yes, it's Jesse James Fire... something firearms or fire
underarms undergarments
but it's JJFU I was talking to him and he said he'd come by and so
that's going to be interesting because what some of you guys don't know as you listen to this is Brad and Jesse have a lot of history together. One, they used to date and
well, that was before he was married. Okay. Don't even bring
before
that.
Or in between marriages, could be during one of the marriages, you never really know. But a lot of history there from back in the boy days. And
Jesse. I mean, it was funny because if you look at my social media, there was a post I put up of him about a month and a half ago. It was I ran across an old advertisement we had printed for Boyd and I owned a clothing company called Shop Rags. And one day I was shooting some photos and I said, hey, Jesse, come here. Threw a hat on him and threw a T-shirt on him. And I said, just you know, go underneath that car, and, you know, and we did a bunch of shots. And people look at it and they go, that's Jesse, because he doesn't have any tattoos. and I put it up and I said, this is Jesse when he worked for me at Boyd's, before he had any tattoos. And Jesse comes right on and puts a post on. Well, I had a tattoo or two on my back. You know? And I said, okay, my mistake.
Visible tattoos. Yeah. Yeah.
But he had hair and a ponytail, no tattoos on his arms and hands. God, I've known him forever, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it'll be fun. We'll have a lot of good people.
If you're going to SEMA, come by the MagnaFlow booth. We're doing it every day. Do you remember what times we're doing?
1:45 to 2:45 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And on Friday, I believe it is 11:15 or 10:15.
11:15 to 12:15. So 1:45 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 11:15 on Friday. And if you can't make it, no worries. We're going to record this stuff.
And Friday, you will want to be there because we've got something very special. We're going to have a funny car, and we're going to fire it up on the stage.
We have a stage?
Yeah, we have a stage and a funny car. So we're going to drive it down the aisle and out into the outer parking lot. And if you believe that,
it'll be my Mustang.
Yeah,
it'll be my Mustang.
The funny fox body in person. Bring your camera.
But, all right. So what else we got? Anything else?
You know what? We've always got something else, Matt. What have you been doing lately?
What have I been doing lately?
Yeah, what have you been doing lately?
Mostly podcasts, Brad.
You been selling any cars or anything?
I have been selling
cars. You talked about them on the show a couple weeks
ago.
Yeah,
so to recap all of that, everything is sold. And every time we go to Russo, he goes, driver. Nobody knows what that means. Driver. I don't know what that means. I guess he's calling for the guy
he's
to
calling
move
the guy
it
to come the, get it and get it out of here.
Driver. Yeah, I'm very happy to say that our friend Matt Farah over at the Smoking Tire podcast bought the Lamborghini Countach.
Bastard. What color was that?
It was red, it was tan, it was an 88 5000 Quattro, and he's going to have it soon. His clutch being put in it. He's very excited about it. He did a great video with it, so it's just sort of made a nice little bookend to that story, and he drove it a couple of years ago, and...
Is he going to start wearing like all white suits?
I hope he does. So he bought that. We sold the Pantera. We sold the Ford GT, and we sold the Corvette. And it all worked out great. And now the two other cars, two of Adam's Lamborghinis, are actually going to go to for the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, so many years. RM has been doing an auction in L.A. It's been at Barker Hangar a few times.
We've gone a couple times. Yeah.
So this year, December 8th, they're moving it to the Peterson Museum. Now the Peterson is done, and they've got...
Where?
They're in their groove. The Peterson, it's this place in L.A. that you've never been to. They are going there. Everyone except Brad will be there. And
they've still never invited me over. I was a sponsor of the damn place, and they won't invite me over.
And we will have the Lamborghini 350 GT up for auction, and
your Fox body,
the blue Lamborghini Miura SV,
the four headlight.
We're getting out of the streetcar business.
The four headlight car and the Miura, is that what it is?
Yeah, it kind of looks like four headlights, but it's.
Oh, that lens. It's got European headlights.
Yeah,
on it, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the black 350 GT, all original, beautiful car, and that blue Miura SV that we debuted at Pebble Beach. It was at San Marino Motor Classic. It was at Bruce Meyer's Rodeo Drive Concours. Got some sort of ribbon there, I think, for most blue.
Does the ribbon go with it?
Yes, it does.
It does.
You may have that. So both those Lamborghinis are going to be going to RM. We're very excited about it. And they just announced what their flagship car is going to be at that event. And you'll be interested in this, Bradley.
It's a Yanko Lamborghini?
No, it is a 1956 Ferrari 290 MM. There is only four of these, And this is a fully matching numbers Ferrari Classic.
Is there a picture of it there?
Yes.
It sounds very interesting.
It's red.
Oh, yeah. That harkens back to the old racing days when the Testarossas were ruling the tracks and everything like that. Yeah, that's
so. That's going to be their flagship car, which will be amazing.
And folks, when I say Testarossa, if you're not a Ferrari aficionado, I don't mean like the Testarossa with the
Pontoon
grater side.
Testarossa,
the old pontoon
yeah.
with the big cutaway. Speaking of cutaway,
this did
fenders.
The Mille Miglia.
Oh, it did
in 1956 and got second place. And
so it's not only it has lots of racing.
Phil
heritage.
Hill was a driver. Peter
wow.
Collins.
It has good racing heritage then.
And Sir Stirling Moss.
Wow. Do they have an estimate on that of around maybe? Gosh, I'm going to say $27 million.
There's no estimate, but I would say probably in the $20 to $30 million mark. I mean, maybe more. But if you can't afford this, there are two beautiful Lamborghinis available.
Yeah, and probably a bunch of other cars.
You should buy them both.
Okay, speaking of automotive design and styling like that, I'm on the freeway the other day.
Yes.
And you know here in L.A., you see everything on the roads out here. You post them on your Instagram all the time when you're out in Malibu. I mean,
yep.
Where do you live again?
Venice.
Venice Beach, that's
Venice.
The new Aston Martin.
Yes.
And I was sitting in traffic next to it. And it was the first time I got to see it in person.
The new DB11 or the new Vantage?
It's the one with that split front fender where right near the coming off of the front fascia, there's a gap of about 3 inches and a plastic bar. Or I don't even know if it's plastic, but a black bar in there.
Yeah.
And it is exposed. You can... When I'm sitting there and I look in my rearview mirror, you look through and you see the tread of the tire. And I was sitting there going, do I like this or does it look unfinished, you know?
Yeah.
And it was one of those, it's such a dramatic styling change. I looked at the car and I went, I like this car. I don't know. No, I do like it. The only thing I really didn't like about it was the fender gap. From the top of the tire to the bottom of the fender lip was about 2 inches. And I said, that car needs to be lowered. And
yeah.
I'm sure it's got some kind of trick suspension, you know, magnetic ride or something. But, boy, it had to be lowered a little bit. Because I think that was the only thing I did not like about it was that big gap. And but it
you don't like it until you realize you have a giant carbon fiber splitter on the front.
Well, exactly. Yes.
And then you're like, God, I wish this thing was higher.
And maybe it has, you know, leveling like in the cars we drive and you know, the guy just forgot to put it down.
Yeah,
you know?
The front end lift
right.
feature like Porsches and Lamborghinis. Some of those have
them. The McLarens, all
yeah,
of them.
Yeah.
But most of them when you hit 35 it has a chime or it automatically goes down.
Yeah, it goes down.
But this thing was like up and I was like,
was he going 34?
You know what? He was going very slow on the freeway.
Yeah, he might have just caught on the freeway.
Because we were stopped in traffic.
Yeah,
but
maybe it didn't go down yet.
It was a putty gray.
Okay.
And it was very dynamic and very unique styling. They've really done a huge styling variation for the Astons.
If that crazy mouth on the front, I want to say that's the Vantage, not necessarily the DB11. I drove the DB11. I don't remember if I brought it here. It was the white one with the blue interior. It was very nice.
Didn't bring it here.
It was a V12, turbo V12, 600
You probably
horsepower.
Had a date that night, because usually when you get those, you take them
on
dates.
Yeah, I did, actually.
You don't bring them here. You don't waste your Vanquish or your DB11 time.
You don't put out.
Shift and stare. I know. That's right. So, why, you know, I mean, come on. But no, it was really cool. I would recommend everybody go check it out and post your comments. Let us know what you think about it. And other than that, I think that we're gearing up for SEMA. We want you to come find us at the MagnaFlow booth. Go to all of our social media, personal and the shows, because we'll have all that. And you can go to our website at shiftandsteer.com, where we're going to put up our show times, our guests as we book them, and you can even find a little map there so that once you get to the show, you can find us. But probably
just... That sounds awfully convenient.
Probably just look for the crowd. You know? Yeah. And listen for the murmur in the crowd.
You listen for the murmur.
Yes.
Crowd murmur. And well, you know, before we wrap up, I'll tell you guys, I don't know about you, Brad, but if you're excited for Halloween, you're going to love all the thrilling shows that Podcast One has to offer.
Are they scary?
They're super scary. Get ready for chills with some of the best crime and mystery shows around, like Beyond the Darkness, Serial Killer Podcast, Cold Case Files, Murder Made Me Famous, The First Degree, and so much more. Check out all these thrilling shows today on Podcast One or wherever your favorite podcasts are. Do you think the Serial Killer Podcast is hosted by actual serial killers?
It should be.
It's about serial killers.
It should be.
I'm going to say, coming live from jail.
Yeah, why aren't more guys in prison doing podcasts? Like, I mean, they're
what else
are
they
going to
do, right? Just they should be doing that. That's the new prison podcast network.
Exactly, the prison bud. Hey, man, we're here at the prison podcast. Jimmy got shivved last night. That's top of the and it was very unique how they built that shiv. They used a toothbrush. And yep. Yeah, you could have all kinds of content. We probably are on to something.
Yeah. All right, Podcast One, there's the future of podcasting. Get on that, Prison Podcast.
We should have jumped on that whole Halloween thing, and maybe next Friday we should do things that are scary that you can do to your car.
Well, we watched a show on Netflix or something where they lifted a smart car.
Oh,
you made me watch that show. That's scary. I never want to see that again.
Do you know what's even scarier is that after we talked about that, yeah, made fun of it, did all that, I'm driving back from UPS the other night, yeah, and sitting alongside the road at a business complex was a lifted smart car.
Was it the same one?
No, it was not the same one. So there's two of them out there. And I was like going, oh, you got to be
kidding.
It wasn't
one of those golf carts with the off-road kit?
No, this was a smart car. And I was like, did this guy do this idea on his own, or did he watch that show and go, oh, I'm doing that too? You know, I mean, it was just, it had big knobby tires on it. And I was just like going, oh my goodness.
If we go to SEMA and there's lifted smart car, like lift kits available.
Yeah, there's like a whole booth.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot somebody.
God. You know, I mean, I could see maybe a lifted, now I can't remember the type of cars there. The little Italian cars.
The Mini Coopers?
The Fiats. Yeah, now you know, Fiats, of course. Those are just, you know, I think what we should do.
The lifted Fiat 500?
We need to get a Fiat 500, a Mini Cooper, and a smart car, lift them, and then have off-road races. There'd be one for each of us to drive. We know who's driving the Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
I guess because you've got an Italian sports car, you'd get that.
I'd be stuck with the smart car.
Damn it. Happens to me every time. So, all right, everybody. Hey, this wraps up another Shift and Steer. Matt, where can they find us online?
Check us out, as you said, shiftandsteer.com. And then all of our social media is Shift Steer Media. You can find me. I'm at Motorator on all the social medias.
And me, I'm on Instagram most of the time at Bradley_Fanshaw. And everywhere else can just find me as Brad Fanshaw. And we'll see you there. And be sure to check us out at SEMA. Come by, say hi, and help us build a big, huge crowd that blocks the aisle. And everybody gets mad and they go, oh my gosh, we're never going to let these guys come back. That's probably what will happen.
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.